50 cases. So keep that in mind. So with no ado, we will begin with Tyson Manger.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming out. I'd like to first give thanks to our Creator, who made this day possible and breathed life into all of us. I'd also like to thank the League of Women Voters here in Morgan County for bringing us all together and giving us an opportunity to address the public this evening. When we launched our campaign last year, a lot of people didn't think that we could take on the establishment in the way that we have. But since then, hundreds and thousands of people from Morgan County have rallied to the cause of justice, and we are in a place now where this is a real race, and we are going to win. We have held numerous parades, events. Just last week, we were visiting the residents of Labor Drive, who, when I went to South Elementary School, we made May Day baskets for, one of my favorite memories. This campaign, despite what anyone will tell you, it's not about me, it's not about my opponent, it's about what is best for Morgan County. It's about ending a cycle of political appointments. It's about restoring equal justice under law and ending the double standard of justice that allows some individuals to play by a different set of rules. Our job is to protect citizens from crime, from drugs, but we're also going to, over the next year, finally give proper respect to veterans, something that's very near and dear to my heart as a former Marine combat veteran of Iraq. I was born and raised in Morgan County. I'm the only candidate to have spent my entire upbringing here. My grandpa ran the bowling alley on Walnut for 30 years. My entire family still lives here. My parents are educators, and my commitment is to this community. I have a unique position on many things given my combat veteran status, but I was also the victim of violent crime. Nearly lost my life 9 years ago when I suffered 10 stab wounds in a violent attack in Texas. With that understanding of victims, of crime, of veterans, and of this community, I am the proper choice to lead Morgan County in the days ahead. I've had the pleasure of working as a solo trial attorney for the last 2 years in this community. I've handled criminal defense cases, misdemeanor and felony, and I've also had the privilege of working with the Women's Crisis Center, who have asked me to step in and help them on numerous occasions, as well as the Jacksonville Main Street and the Outlet Mentoring Program that I'm honored to be resident counsel for. So with that, I look forward to your questions when the time comes, and thank you for your time.
Next we will hear from Gray Noel.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you all very much for coming. And thank you very much for the League of Women Voters for putting on this forum. It's a true opportunity for all of us to talk about our experience and our background, and it's much appreciated. My name is Gray Noel. As I said, it's an honor to serve as your state's attorney. I've been serving in this capacity since the first of the year. I'm married. My wife, Lauren, is here in the back with our son, Archie. She's going to kill me for recognizing her in the audience today. But, she was smart enough to duck out. We reside here in Jacksonville. My son is 4 months old and is a lifelong resident of Morgan County. I'm an Illinois College graduate, graduated in 1999, as is my father, as is his father. I have 2 brothers, 2 sisters that graduated from Illinois College, and a couple cousins. After I graduated from Illinois College, I went on to law school at Southern Illinois University down in Carbondale. Going into law school, I knew I wanted to be a prosecutor. It's why I went to law school. And I was fortunate enough to get an internship in the Sangamon County State's Attorney's Office between my second and third year that summer. And that summer further solidified my desire to be a prosecutor. And upon graduation, I applied out of a numerous pool of applicants. I was selected for a full-time position in the Sangamon County State's Attorney's Office. That was in 2002, and I began where prosecutors begin, in the traffic misdemeanor division, trying traffic cases, trying misdemeanor cases. These are jury trials, and in that capacity, I learned how to try a case. You know, I learned rules of evidence, criminal procedure, civil procedure. After that, I was appointed to head of the DUI prosecution unit. I was in charge of prosecuting every DUI that occurred in Sangamon County. Now, DUIs are very technical. You have to have very specific information in order to lay the proper foundation, lay the proper groundwork to get breath tests and blood tests, things like that, into evidence. From there, I was promoted to the chief of that division, where I supervised 8 attorneys. I then eventually was promoted to the felony division, promoted then after a number of years of trying felony cases to the gang and drug unit, and I spent the last three or four years in the Sangamon County State's Attorney's Office trying major felony cases, first-degree murder cases, prosecuting aggravated discharge cases, aggravated battery cases. And the first of the year, I was selected as your state's attorney. It was a unanimous vote by the Board of County Commissioners, some of whom are here tonight, for me to come over and serve as your state's attorney. And it is truly an honor. You know, being a prosecutor is a calling, and it is my calling. It is my purpose, and I very much enjoy it. See, there's very few legal positions where every day you can go and do something good for somebody. And being a prosecutor is one of those. My time is up. I'd appreciate your vote on November 8th, and thank you all very much for coming tonight.
Next we'll hear from Rick Pertichico.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming, and I want to thank the League of Women Voters for sponsoring this forum. It's an honor to serve. It's also an honor to run for public office. My background is that I'm from Macoupin County. I was a graduate of Illinois College in 1975, and I, too, have a litany of Illinois College graduates in the family, but I won't go over it with you. I then went on to law school at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, and I've been practicing law for 38 years. I am married. I have 5 children. My 2 oldest are lawyers. One's a public defender. The other one practices with me. I have a daughter who's a doctor in St. Louis, an OBGYN, and I have 2 other children who are still in school, a freshman and 7th grader, who would be here tonight, but they have religion class on Wednesday, although I usually teach that class, but tonight I got a substitute for them. I run for office because of experience. I have 38 years. I've tried cases. I'm the only lawyer up here that will tell you I've had jury trials in 5 of the 6 counties in our circuit. I don't seem to have had one in Scott County. They don't have very many. But I've had them here. I had a medical malpractice trial here in 1997, and it was the first time in over 15 years there was a plaintiff's verdict. I have the experience to be your judge. But more importantly is my commitment for public service. There's no question that part of my commitment came from my father, who was a judge, and that's kind of a funny thing in our race. My opponent, Ryan Cadigan, who, by the way, I'll tell you, is a very fine man. I've known his family, and you're not going to get any presidential attacks like you see on the TV tonight. We both think high of each other and our families. But his father was a judge, too. So there's no question that having that in your family makes you consider public service. It is the highest calling. I have served for 9 different municipalities as their city attorney. I establish a program where I don't charge to go to their meetings because it's part of my commitment to public service. It's something that I intend to continue on as your judge. I can't talk about cases, but I can talk about some program that I am advocating when I become judge. I'm going to try to set up a program that we're going to have court for evenings are on Saturdays for people, because our communities are mostly working families, and people shouldn't be confronted with the requirement of missing work to go to court. They should be able to go to court. Our court system is better if I hear from people. I can't say I always agree with them, but all systems are government if we exchange information. I intend to institute that type of program. I know my opponent has said he's against that because it may take an act of the legislature, and that's not true because they do it in Cook County. They do it in DuPage County. I want to serve the people, and I think I can become your excellent judge, and I'm asking for your vote, and I'll try to answer any questions you have. Thank you.
Next, we're going to hear from Ryan Cadigan.
Thank you very much. Thank you to the League of Women Voters and to everyone for being here tonight. It's a great event. This is a fantastic turnout, so thank you all for coming out. My name is Ryan Cadigan. I'm a candidate for circuit judge. There are 12 circuit judges in the 7th Circuit. It's a 6-county circuit, and in Morgan County, Judge Chris Wright is your circuit judge, doing an excellent job. The race we're running for is an at-large. All 6 counties vote on it. And the seat is based out of Springfield. Springfield is where I'm born and raised. My wife is born and raised, and where we're raising our daughter. I'm running for circuit judge for continued public service. My entire career has either been entirely or partially in the public service sector. After law school, I went to work at the Sangamon County State's Attorney's Office, as did Mr. Knoll. Also started in traffic and misdemeanor, was promoted up to felony, and have personally prosecuted first-degree murder, second-degree murder, aggravated DUI, aggravated criminal sexual assault, any major felony I personally handled as a prosecutor. And public service has been throughout my career. I'm also the Sangamon County Hearing Officer. And I, Rick, I appreciate the kind words and the way we have, the way you conducted your campaign. And, I echo the nice things you said. I would disagree on one point, though. I never said I was opposed to his program for nights and weekend court. As a matter of fact, I am the Sangamon County Hearing Officer hearing cases of ordinance violations. And in that role, when I took over, that met at 10:30 in the morning. And it was actually switched to 5:30 in the morning to accommodate public access and to accommodate public, people with jobs, people who can't take off work to come to court. So I'm all for access to the courts. What I have pointed out, though, is that one circuit judge does not have the authority to add courts on the nights and weekends. So I'm all for access to courts and public outreach, but one circuit judge doesn't have the power to set that up. On a personal side, the charities I've been involved with, I've been the vice president of the Friends of the Sangamon County Child Advocacy Center and the Friends of the Sangamon County Drug Board, which are charities that have a public service aspect of them to make sure that the courts run as efficiently and effectively as possible, and in the case of the Child Advocacy Center, to make sure that victims of criminal sexual abuse there's an advocate that they're treated in the best way possible by trained professionals at every level. And it's because of that public service, both professionally and personally, I think the culmination for a lawyer in public service is that of a circuit judge. I've been a prosecutor working with law enforcement. I've run and owned and operated my own law practice. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you tonight, and thank you very much for having us.
Thank you. Next, we're going to hear from David Reed.
Thank you, Carol, and thank you to the League of Women Voters for making this event possible. Thank you all, too, for coming tonight. I would assume the Cubs have an off night.
You're in the wrong county for Cubs.
All right, thank you. I would like to add that I feel a kinship with Morgan County because my maternal grandparents were born here, the Flynn family. And my grandfather's uncle, Jim Flynn, was an alderman and influential in the development of Lake Jacksonville. Also, I have many cousins here in town, the Ties and Sargents. I've also been a member of the chamber here for the past year and have worked with book crafters on some books that I've written. So I do feel an affinity to Morgan County and Jacksonville. The other reason is I like praise, and I think that Jacksonville has had more praise than any other. just to tell you a little bit about myself, I'm from Springfield. My grandfather came over here from England and was a coal miner. My father worked in the coal mine. They're both members of the United Mine Workers. I'm the first one in my family to graduate from college. I went to SIU Carbondale, played sports there. received a law degree at the University of Miami in Florida. While in Florida, I also received an MBA degree. I received all of my postgraduate degrees by working full-time during the day and going to school at night. So I'm a working individual, and if I'm elected judge, I'll be a working judge. I will tell you that it's very important to learn as much as you can about the candidates, and the election of a judge should be more than just a party or name or personal looks. It should be based on qualifications and experience. Because a judge, unlike a president or senator or congressman, a judge is more likely to have a greater impact on your lives than a president or senator, because it's directly there, it's where the rubber meets the road, and will have direct implications on your lives. So it's very important to choose the correct judge. And in so doing, I would review the judicial advisory polls. I would also research, review cases that the attorney or judge has been involved with to get a better idea of the person and capabilities and qualifications. With respect to community activities, I've been president of the Supreme Law Association. I've been in the chamber. I've been endorsed by many labor unions and the Illinois State Medical Society. And if elected, I have plans to speed cases through the system to save time and money for all the participants. And I appreciate, again, this opportunity, and I would like your vote on November 8th. Thank you.
Next, we're going to hear from April Trempor.
And just so you know, I can't see the time. Hi, everyone. Again, thank you to the League of Women Voters and everyone else who took time out of your evening to come and meet the candidates. Again, I think it's very important for the public to be informed when you go to the ballot box, especially for judicial races. We hear that a lot of people don't even know their judges. So I appreciate this opportunity. I have been a judge since 2009. I started out as an associate judge after the circuit court judges appointed me and found me to be the most qualified. I served in that capacity for 5.5 years, and then in April of 2015, I was promoted by the Illinois Supreme Court to serve as circuit court judge. By way of background, I grew up in Edinburgh, a very small town outside of Springfield, a town of 1,200. I was the first in my family to go beyond high school as well. So I know we have two candidates where their dads were judges, and we have two candidates where we're the first in our family to go beyond high school and earn a college degree. So we took different paths, but we're all going to be in the same position. From there, I went to Lincoln Land Community College and then Eastern Illinois University for my bachelor and master's degree, and then SIU School of Law to earn my Juris Doctorate degree. After law school, I started out in private practice for a law firm of Grand Canyon, primarily representing hospitals and doctors and nurses. And I traveled the entire country and took expert depositions and did a lot of different just general civil litigation work. And then I transferred to another private firm, handled the same kind of cases, and then started doing prisoner litigation work. So I got into the federal courts as well and had to take deposition of inmates throughout the state. That was a different experience. And from there, I went to another firm, Sorley Northrop, in Springfield, and handled a wide variety of just general litigation on both sides. And so from there, then I went to my role as an associate judge and now a circuit court judge. I right now am in Macoupin County, and that is where our seat and that vacancy is. That is Judge Wondergan's vacancy. I preside over any kind of case you can think of. I will say I'm the only candidate that has actual trial court experience. I have come face to face with what the administration of justice truly means. I have orders of protection for victims of domestic violence. I have had to terminate parental rights of parents who have abused and neglected their children. I have had to sentence people to prison to account for the wrongs that he or she has committed. I've had to issue monetary fines to award people damages. I have had the privilege of also presiding over adoptions and bringing families together. I also have had to decide best interests and where children need to reside. So I would say that the call that I have is not a popular call, but I have to make tough decisions, and I make them based on the law. And I am looking forward to continuing to serve as your judge. Thank you.
now we are going to hear from Junius Rodriguez.
Thank you. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you to the League of Women Voters for sponsoring this event, and thank you to all of you for coming out tonight. I can't help but notice I'm the only non-attorney.
Lucky.
We don't know why that is, but we'll
just hope it works. In many respects, all of us have clearly a vested interest in what happens on November 8th. But the truth of the matter is, this election is more about you. It's more about you selecting those candidates who will best represent your interests and best serve your interests in whatever capacity, whatever office they seek. So while each of us really sort of, we're concerned about what happens 4 weeks down the line, each of you has to be concerned as well, because you have to live with the decisions that are made on November 8th. My name is Junius Rodriguez. I'm an educator. I've been a teacher all my life, 37 years in education. For the past 24 years, I've taught at Eureka College. And I have to say this, having lived in a college town for the past 24 years, it's wonderful to be here tonight in a college town. It seems that there's a true sense of community, individuals who want to be informed and want to come out and find out as much as they can when election season does come along. My background, again, I'm a historian. My specialization is African-American history. I've done quite a bit of research and work in the area of abolition, emancipation, and slavery. I also have an expertise in the area of contemporary slavery and modern slavery. In addition to my work as an educator, I'm also actively involved in my community in a variety of social service organizations. I currently serve as the president of two organizations, Heartline and Heart House, operates a homeless shelter that serves domestic violence cases in Woodford County, City of Washington. In addition to that, I also am the president of the Eureka Area United Fund. I've been on both of these boards well over 20 years now, and in that capacity, working with many others, I've had the opportunity to raise several million dollars for the organizations we support. As an educator, I've always told my students that living lives for civic engagement is one of the most important things we can do in our lifetime. And this year, I suddenly realized that sometimes we have to do more than just talk the talk. We have to walk the walk. I realized when I listened to the political rhetoric we've heard for the past 15 months, that it's time for individuals of good faith and good conscience to step forward, to have that willingness to say that they're willing to be involved. And I'm asking tonight for your consideration. I look forward to answering the questions that you may pose, and I hope that I do have the opportunity to serve you for the next few years as your congressman. Thank you.
Thank you, all of you. So now we are going to start with the questions. The first one is for both state's attorney candidates. What is your experience in discovery, prosecution, and trial of criminal cases? So we'll start with Tyson, and then we'll go back and forth as the evening goes.
Okay. I'll lead off every round, I guess. That's fine. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Okay. As I mentioned, I've been a trial attorney here in South Jacksonville for the last over two years. I have worked as a criminal defense attorney as well as a civil litigator, both as a plaintiff and a defense attorney. I've handled small claims. I've handled large civil suits. I've handled wills and estates. And I'm also the one who is responsible for filing the ethics complaint in South Jacksonville. I think that experience only takes you so far without judgment. And I think that the judgment that I showed in South Jacksonville could have easily been disproven. If I was full of false allegations, I would have been disproven. But after I filed the ethics complaint, the mayor, chief of police, and treasurer all stepped aside within 3 weeks. Why nothing has happened to this date, I do not know. However, I do know that if I was in any way left myself open for criticism based on partisanship, it would have happened. What the reality is that crimes were committed in South Jacksonville, where I live. As a former Marine and someone truly committed to the Constitution. I could not have sat by with the skills and the training that I have and allow the people of South Jacksonville to suffer the corruption that occurred. And it's important to recognize we have a big corruption problem. And corruption has real costs when your tax dollars find themselves walking away from your community, your public works projects don't get done, and that just reinforces the double standard of justice that my campaign will end. Thank you.
Okay, Gray.
Thank you. What you didn't hear in that answer was that he has never done a jury trial. He has never, ever picked a jury. As a prosecutor for the last 14 years, I cannot emphasize enough the importance of having the ability to do and prosecute an individual by way of jury. That's how cases are decided in our system. And for the last 14 years, that's what I've been doing. I started, as I said, in the traffic misdemeanor division, trying jury trials against misdemeanor retail theft, misdemeanor criminal damage. That's where you start out. That's how you grow to become the state's attorney. It's by doing those things for years, for decades. I went from the traffic misdemeanor division to trying more serious DUIs, to being the head of that division, to trying felony cases, to trying drug cases, gang-related cases. And it's with the drug cases and the gang-related cases that I became very knowledgeable about search and seizure. And it's in my murder cases that I perfected the ability to get in very specific kinds of evidence, DNA evidence, physical evidence. You have to be able to have the technical knowledge to lay the foundation, to lay the groundwork, to introduce these things into evidence. And you don't get it overnight. You can't just wake up one morning and say, I want to be state's attorney. You can't wake up one morning and say, I want to be a general. What you do is you enlist as a private. You eventually get promoted. What you do as a prosecutor is you start working at a prosecutorial agency. You eventually get promoted. It takes years, it takes decades to get the experience in order to be an effective state's attorney. And I have that experience.
Okay, now we are going to move down to Rick. We'll give you this first question. What do you consider the most difficult aspect of dealing with this job during the term of this office? So what would be the most difficult aspect of running for a judge?
For running for the judge or being a judge? I'm trying to...
Being a judge,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not yet serving as a judge, but after the election, I hope to. What I know from observing and my experience in the judicial system, the most difficult job is going to be to efficiently and promptly manage the court system so that people believe they have a fair judiciary. It's important, therefore, that you have the proper temperament when you deal with the people and with the attorneys. It's important that you have knowledge about the law that you develop over years of experience, over being involved in many trials, and I've had some landmark cases that I've been involved in. And it's important that you do hard work, that you work harder than both lawyers, that you're willing to do whatever it takes to make sure the public knows that they're going to get a fair trial, knows they'll get fair hearings, and knows that when they leave, they had that, that they have pride in our judicial system. That's the most important thing that I want to bring to the bench, making sure the public respects and continues to respect the judiciary.
Okay, Brian.
Thank you very much. We're running for Judge Kelly's vacancy, which is in Springfield, which is a high-volume call. And so being able to effectively and efficiently move through the cases, Judge Kelly's court system is set up so there's 1 week of criminal, 1 week civil, criminal, civil, and it goes back and forth in that way. I'm humbled and privileged and honored to have Judge Kelly's endorsement in this race and his support. I've also been in his courtroom thousands of times. I was a prosecutor, as I mentioned previously, handling criminal felonies. I have also served as a public defender, handling felonies on the defense side. So when those DNA motions come up and fingerprint evidence is trying to be admitted and one attorney objects and another attorney says it should be in, with many, many cases up, being able to effectively rule properly on all of them is very important. And I've done the work as the prosecutor and the defense attorney, which I think is the only way to have the knowledge to be able to rule on that quickly. Many, many areas of the practice of law, you can go look up. If you get a phone call at your office, a client has a question, you can go look it up, get back to them an hour later, a day later, a week later. If you're in a murder trial and there's an objection on a key piece of evidence, the judge has to be in a position to know what the right answer is on that. And the only way to get that experience is to prosecute cases and defend cases. On the civil side of it, in Sangamon County, the seat we're running for, there's lawsuits. I personally tried civil cases as well. Probate, handled many, many probate cases, estate planning, adoptions as well, which I personally handled. So when you're dealing with thousands of cases a year, it's important to be able to have been there, to personally handle them. That way you can make sure every case gets its due process and its due time, but also be able to handle a large volume call. Thank you.
Okay, David?
Yeah, thank you. I think one of the toughest aspects of the judgeship would be to be consistent. We should be able to be consistent in cases by applying the law to certain facts. As a practicing attorney, it's difficult to look at a judge's record and see how he or she may have ruled in cases because there's no consistency. So it's hard to advise your clients. But generally, you should be able to look at a case and look at the facts, and knowing the law, be able to tell your client what is in his or her best interest. And I think that's a problem with our courts, and that it's, instead of being able to predict something, it's the wheel of fortune where you're not sure how it'll come out and you give it your best shot. I think you have to be a good umpire. I think the judge has to, justice is blind, you have to apply the facts to the law and make a decision. I think one thing's very important, and when elected, I'll rule on cases within 30 days when it comes to me. I won't take it under advisement for months and months and months, but I'll rule quickly and promptly. That won't be possible to do in every case, but that would be one of my objectives. I also think as an attorney for the government and private practice, I've been involved in over 2,000 cases. I've been a judge and commissioner with the Court of Claims for the state of Illinois. In that role, I've heard every kind of case from a multi-million-dollar contract at the U of I to a pair of socks that an inmate lost when he was transferred from prison to prison. So I've seen it all, done it all. I've been doing this for over 30 years, and I think I'm your guy. And I think that if elected, I will do a good job, and again, I'll be a working judge. Thank you.
All right, as I recall the question, it is, what is the challenges of the job? So I have been doing the job as a judge, as I stated, it will be 7 years this December. My current position as a circuit court judge, I have been doing that job for 1.5 years. So I can actually speak from experience as to what some of the challenges are that we as judges and courts face. And it's not a popular topic, but it is lack of funding. We are a third equal branch of government, and we receive less than 1% of the overall budget. So we continue to see resources cut, probation officers cut, different social agencies losing funding, and those are extremely important for the administration of justice. One of the other things that I see is in the family law division. I preside daily over families and children, and these children do not have a voice. And a lot of times we see, the majority of the cases we see are self-represented litigants. They used to be called pro se. That word is now called self-represented litigants. Those are the ones that cannot afford attorneys. So they come in and they try to navigate to this complicated system, and they are advocating on behalf of their children. And the courts, we have the ability to appoint what's called guardian ad litem or children representatives. But you know what? They require money, and they don't work for free because they have to make a living. And to the courts, we want those children to have a voice. It's so important that those guardian ad litem and children representatives are a neutral agent of the courts, and they go out and investigate, and they interview, and they come back and they give a report and recommendation. And time again, I wish we had the funding to be able to appoint more of those voices for the children, and I think that that would truly help promote the access to justice.
Junius, you want to talk to us about being in Washington, D.C. and the responsibilities and difficulties?
Sure.
That's
all right. I think the first thing we have to keep in mind is that the job of being a congressman essentially is a part-time position. If you think about the work that's done in D.C. and the number of days that Congress is in session, one of the most important things that an effective congressman has to do is be able to represent the interests of the people who live within the district. And if I can make one connection here, as an educator, I think there's a connection that works both ways on this. My job would be to make sure that the other members of Congress are made aware of the unique circumstances that exist in the 18th. Because not all counties are going to have similar situation, similar concerns, similar problems. This is a very large congressional district. It runs all the way from river counties, all the way to Peoria, Bloomington, north up to Marshall, Stark, parts of the Springfield area as well. So 19 counties included. So part of it is educating members of Congress about what are the unique circumstances within the district. But then the other thing is educating folks within the district about what's happening in Congress itself. Being a conduit of information, same time being an effective representative of the people. I think two of the biggest problems that we find in American politics today, especially at the congressional level, people who have blind allegiance to the party and people who have blind allegiance to special interests. I am probably the closest thing that you will ever find to an independent candidate seeking this position. My interest is to serve, to represent the people. I've talked about moderation, bipartisanship, common sense solutions from day one. And if I do get the opportunity to serve, I'm not serving on behalf of party interests, special interests. I want to serve on behalf of your interests.
Thank you. The next question, and we're going to start with Gray. Which specific television news networks, print and digital media, do you trust as generally reliable and objective sources of information?
Mainly The Onion. I don't know if you're familiar with that publication.
Yes,
but
I certainly am.
Honestly, I have a four-month-old. I have a job that is very time-consuming and very demanding. I don't watch the national news. I will turn on the local radio station, WLDS, on my way into work. While I'm getting ready in the morning, I read the Jacksonville Journal-Courier every day. You know, it's the local news programs that I trust a lot more than the national news programs. I don't watch Fox News. I don't watch CNN. I watch the local news. I read the local paper. You know, my job as a state's attorney, you have to be aware of what's going on in your community. You have to be aware who gets arrested the night before. You have to be aware of the problems and the issues that are facing Morgan County. That's what I concentrate on. So honestly, I don't watch the national news networks. My wife certainly does and keeps me up to date on a variety of topics. But our son keeps us busy. My job keeps me busy. And you know, being the state's attorney, you're on call 24 hours a day. You know, I get calls in the middle of the night, have to come in and approve a search warrant. I get calls, you know, in the evenings when I'm trying to put my son to bed about questions about a search. So I kind of got off topic there, but to answer the question, I rely on the local sources, and by the local sources, I also meant to include the source. My apologies for not for my information. Thank you.
Okay. Rick, do you want to clarify this one about specific television news networks and digital media. Do you trust in generally reliable and objective sources of information?
Well, as far as the major networks, I don't trust any of them. I listen to all of them, but I think you need to gather information from the print media as well as from the broadcast media and make decisions, but not be guided by what you're fed from the television. So I don't, you know, as far as the position from being a judge, I don't know that this question has a lot of application, but I think I am interested in the local print media, local radio, and find the national television stations somewhat more entertaining than something that I would rely on as being truthful.
Thank you. Ryan?
Thank you very much. I would echo what both Mr. Nolan and Mr. Verdicchio said. I get my news from local sources. I get them from the local papers. With this six-county race, I've been reading a lot, six counties worth of local papers about the last year. So, and that's something that I've enjoyed, and local radio as well. I agree with Rick on TV. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I kind of watch it all when it comes to the news programs. There's not one show or one thing I specifically tune into. I kind of try to, you know, flip around and see what different networks are showing at different times and, you know, get a feel for it. And, you know, it, again, I don't know if there's one I trust more than the other, but I try to just keep my ears open and kind of take it all in. Thank you.
Okay, David?
Yes, thank you. Well, that is a good question. I try to bounce around. I'll go from channel to channel. I also read several newspapers. I, too, read the local papers for the counties and to try to keep up with it. Also, I have a daughter who's a television journalist with the WAAY in Huntsville, Alabama. So I keep in touch with her, with what's going on with the younger generation. And also, I like the international channels. I think a lot of times if you watch the international channels, BBC, you'll get a clearer, more direct idea of the news, and you won't get the slant that you always get on the other big stations. So I enjoy that. And then I always, try to get my wife's read on things. She's I'm fortunate to be married to Dr. Destro. We have three kids, or I have one from a prior marriage. We have two daughters, but she sees like 200 patients a day, and she's always filled in on what's going on. So I like to run things by her. And it's probably in most households, she's always right, you know. but I would say the international news and then reading several newspapers from around the country is probably the best take. If you watch one station all the time, you're definitely going to be biased. And that's so true, and it's so unfortunate. And it's also unfortunate that the print media is taking such a beating, because, I think that's a very valuable source, and we'll all miss that when eventually it ends or terminates or whatever happens. But you need that media to separate the fluff from the facts and tell you what's really going on. So that's very much needed in the society, and thank you.
April?
Yes, thank you. I too will echo what everyone else has said. I am a full-time working mother of two children, so I do not have a lot of free time to watch TV. I do commute from Springfield to Carmelville every day for my job, so I do listen a lot to the news radio station. When I do, I go back and forth, and I think it's really important to try to get that balance. And as a judge, you know, you hear one version and someone else's version, and you know the truth is somewhere in the middle. And so I do listen to a lot of different stations, the local ones and then at the national level as well. Similarly to the newspapers, I read the local newspapers, try to see what's going on in the daily lives of the citizens and especially those that we serve. As a judge, though, we do have to be cautious not to read too much, especially if there's a high profile case. We don't want to read what the media says. You want to be good at objectives and not have any outside influence or learn information that did not come in proper admissible evidence. So I have tried to be very cautious. If there's a high profile case, I will not read up on that because I do not want anyone to influence or me considering outside information that I should not consider. No one mentioned Judge Judy, so and we know Facebook tells the truth about everything. So those are my comments.
Julius?
Generally in the morning, while eating breakfast, I'll usually watch headline news on CNN, maybe about 20 minutes or so. I've been spending a lot of time driving around the district, and what I'll generally do is listen to radio, find a local NPR station. I also have an online subscription to the three largest newspapers in the district, and what I do every day is try to make sure that I take a look at least at all the major local news articles, what's going on, take a look at the editorial page as well. But both in terms of my hours as a teacher, and I think you can all say hours as a campaigner, you don't have a tremendous amount of time to watch television. In fact, I DVR'd the last presidential debate. Don't know if I'll watch it. but I didn't have time to sit there then and you know, spend an hour and a half or 2 hours watching it at that time. So television sometimes is a luxury. But I agree, print media, hopefully the newspapers are able to hold on. I think that's one of the best sources of information.
Okay. Tyson?
Thank you. I'm a current events kind of person, and as a business law professor at Lincoln Land, I often challenge my students with current event situations. So we could sit here, and I take in a lot of international and national news sources. But I do also appreciate local press, not for the reasons stated. As you noticed, I'm the only person here that doesn't have to try and explain my connection to the community. I was born at Pasadena Hospital. I grew up listening to the birthday announcements on WLDS radio. All right, this is my home. So how important is the local media? Well, let's see. In 2014, 2015, the South Jacksonville investigation broke wide open. And why was that? It had nothing to do with the citizen, and I hadn't even gotten involved yet. There was a journalist named Jim Cate who submitted a FOIA, and after receiving that FOIA, put it online. That shows the importance of an independent press, and that is what is needed to keep public officials' feet to the fire. If elected, I will be looking into creating a permanent sitting ethics commission so that whistleblowers across the county do not face the retaliation that they faced in South Jacksonville. We don't have enough time for me to tell you right now about the individuals that we, out of blind, dumb luck almost, realized that we saved four individuals from having their careers tarnished for doing the right thing. I don't ever want that to happen again in this county, and when I am elected, we will have a safe haven for whistleblowers who bring legitimate claims of wrongdoing by public officials in this county.
Okay, thank you. Now we're going to take probably just a couple more questions. And this is for our state's attorney candidates once again. So we'll start with Greg this time. What are your plans for prosecuting individuals with domestic battery charges, and how do you plan to work with the victims of these crimes?
Domestic battery prosecution in the course of my career is one of the more frustrating areas that I've had to deal with. Members of law enforcement will tell you the same thing. It's frustrating because you often have an individual who is a victim of a crime and will report that crime and then get back together with the individual who was arrested or the suspect, the perpetrator of that crime, and not want to testify or recant their statement. And it's a very frustrating thing. I served in the domestic battery position in Sangamon County, and we, since taking over As state's attorney, the first year over here, we've obviously, I've been involved in a lot of domestic battery cases. We are fortunate here in Morgan County to have a very good victim witness advocate. And that individual, her name is Carol DeVerger. She works in our office. And her sole job is to deal with victims of crimes. And she's very good at the job. One of the things that I've encouraged the Jacksonville Police Department to start doing is something that we did in Springfield. Under certain rules of evidence, a individual who is a victim of crime, if they give a statement and that statement is recorded or memorialized some way, either audio recorded or they have a written statement, and then they later recant that statement, because of the rules of evidence, as a prosecutor, I have the ability to introduce the original statement as substantive evidence. In other words, I get to argue to a jury, you get to consider this initial statement in the same way you would if she or he took the stand here today. So, in working with the Jacksonville Police Department, the Morgan County Sheriff's Department, we've started doing this more, recording the statements, having them do a written statement, and that way we've been more successful at prosecuting domestic battery cases. Thank you.
Thank you. Domestic violence cases are, as Mr. Knoll said, difficult to handle sometimes because you have a balancing act between the very real need and desire to protect victims and also protecting individuals from false accusations, which happens quite frequently. As he mentioned, the Women Crisis Center, Carol, and then Melanie Lawson, Daniel DeFaro, these are individuals who I have worked with who have put their trust and confidence in me for the last 2+ years to represent battered clients and individuals of the Crisis Center who I have gone into court, trial, introduced evidence, argued cases, and won orders of protection, sometimes emergency, sometimes plenary, but I get these women protection. I have a history and I have done that. It's interesting because of the way this is set up. I do want to go back to Mr. Knoll's comments about this being his calling, and you do not enlist as a general, which is an odd comment, because if you look back in this county, as far as 1971, the prosecutor in 1971, a guy named Ed Parkinson, on Monday, he graduated law school. On Wednesday, he was sworn in as the appointed state's attorney. So if you compare historically the credentials required in this county, I have far more experience than Mr. Parkinson, who is now an appellate prosecutor. Again, this goes back to judgment, and I have time and time shown good judgment on behalf of the people of this county that I've called home my entire life. And as I've got 10 seconds left, my parents are also in the audience today, so I'm glad I'd be remiss if I didn't mention them. I owe the world to them.
Ray, would you like to comment? I will give you that chance.
Thank you very much. My parents aren't here because, you know, it's college football might be tonight. I don't know. My dad would be here. No, I would like to comment on the Ed Parkinson comment. Ed Parkinson was appointed the state's attorney shortly after graduating law school. He wasn't elected. He wasn't appointed. There has never been a state's attorney elected in Morgan County ever that has zero jury trial experience. It's never happened. And I appreciate you bringing up Ed Parkinson's name in that he knows what the job entails. He knows my experience. He knows your experience. And he has endorsed my candidacy for this election. He thinks I'm the more qualified candidate, having been in the same position that you are. Thank you.
That's interesting because Ed Parkinson is an individual who was communicating with suspects of the South Jacksonville investigation at the time of the investigation. And you want to talk about judgment? Mr. Knoll, in this election cycle, caused the superintendent of our district to issue a public apology for political campaigning. Here's a guy who has run for 3 offices. He said his calling was prosecuting. He's run for Senate. He tried to get appointed to the House of Representatives a week before.
I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to interrupt you. This is a League of Women Voters candidates forum. It's not a Tyson Manger forum, okay? So, the next question here is for the last
one. Give an opportunity to rebut.
Give Noel a chance to rebut.
Name three personal qualities that will assure voters that you can work well with other people. And we'll start with Ryan.
I apologize. What the question was?
Name three personal qualities that will assure voters that you can work well with other people.
I think that's a great question. The question is what to assure voters that I would work well with other people. There's a judicial, the Elmo State Bar Association does a judicial advisory poll, which is lawyers from within the Seventh Circuit are polled on different qualifications as to who they think would be a good judge. I was honored and humbled by my peers in that poll. I was recommended by the Elmo State Bar Association judicial advisory poll. They also have categories from legal ability to temperament to integrity to court management, and I received the highest highest numbers, highest scores in that poll. So I would refer, it's tough to say that about yourself, but I would refer any voter or reader to look at the Illinois State Bar Association's judicial advisory poll to see what our peers think of us regarding that question. Thank you.
David?
Yes, well, I would chime in with what Mr. Caddy had to say. The judicial advisory poll that was issued in 2016 rated the candidates, and that poll rated me higher than my opponent in integrity, impartiality, legal ability, temperament, court management, and sensitivity to diversity and bias. So that's not from me or my mother. That's from the attorneys who voted in this judicial advisory poll. And I believe it's an independent source, and I think it's probably the best glimpse that you get of the candidates, because the attorneys who practice before or practice with or before the judges, they're the ones that voted in this poll. And their vote was based on what they knew about the candidates. So I have nothing to add to that.
Okay, April?
Thank you. I will start with that response. That seems to be the main campaign theme of my opponent. And this will be the very first forum that I have ever responded, because I try not to ever comment on it. Statements about my opponent. I learn my own qualifications and my own experience, but since it's been put out there, I do feel I should respond to that. I do serve on the Illinois State Bar Association Judicial Advisory Polls. I am well aware of the advisory polls. I have served on them since 2009. I am aware of all the criticisms that also accompany those bar polls, and that is no criticism to Ryan and Rick and David for the scores that they received. But what is different about me and the other three candidates is I am the only sitting judge who has actually done the job. So these things that they are asking for lawyers are based on pure speculation, because every other individual has never been put to the test in a hostile situation under just different scenarios and different facts. They've never had an adverse ruling against the lawyer, upset a litigant by awarding children to another family. So I think that when you look at that, you need to really understand the context that those bar polls are issued when you compare a sitting judge to a non-sitting judge. So back to the actual question as to what qualities I think are important to know that I can relate to the public and the community. Number one is compassion. Number two is humility. Very humble to have this job. I'm very blessed. I come from a broken family. My parents divorced not once but twice as a sixth grader and as a senior in high school. So me presiding over these family law cases, I bring a lot of real life experiences. And when I talk to those children in chambers, I look at them in the eye and I tell my family to you and you as parents, I know what it takes to be good parents and show respect. So real life experiences, humility, and compassion.
Junius?
Three qualities. I think that I have a good work ethic, and what I would is beneficial is that I consider myself to be a person of my word. So if I am working with others, whether I'm working with individuals, whether I'm working across the aisle, if I give my word on something, people know that my word is solid. The other thing, to move away from that, I also think that a person doesn't forget something more. And I think one of the things oftentimes is we find ourselves taking ourselves a little bit too seriously, especially in political life. And I think someone who can even use self-deprecating humor is one of the kinds of people who can maybe relate a little bit to life as it is. It's not all serious business all the time, though quite often it is. And I think that a healthy use of sense of humor is one of the things that can help along the way.
Tyson?
Thank you. I think the most important trait that a prosecutor could have is an unwavering commitment to justice. Unwavering commitment to justice in a way that only a Marine who has bled and sacrificed on the battlefield. We are going to be creating a Veterans Treatment Court in the next year. Working together, we have already assembled a team of professionals, veterans representatives. This is something that is very important to veterans. We have a large veteran community in Morgan County. And for the last 6 years, our lawmakers have enabled the judiciary to create veterans treatment courts. Has that happened? No. I would not feel unsafe saying these individuals who have not served, no fault to their own, they don't understand what it's like to come back from having to pull the trigger, kill the enemy, watch children die or your friends die. These are serious issues. I've worked with the second point. I've worked with the police officers in South Jacksonville, and I will tell you what. Our current chief of police, named Joshua Halleck, an Army veteran, has said that there is probable cause to prosecute in the South Jacksonville investigation. I trust Joshua's work. He is the chief of police, and I will support his decisions when he says probable cause exists. And last but not least, again, I've had the honor and the privilege of working with several nonprofit agencies, including the local crisis center, the outlet mentoring program, which is responsible for mentoring young fatherless teens, and also the Jacksonville Main Street program, where I'm the recording secretary, have been for approaching 2 years, and our commitment to the downtown Jacksonville area is what we are focused on. So I have shown commitment, but here's the other thing. I have no desire to represent anyone but the people of this county, and I have no desire to get any kind of appointment from the good old boy system that does exist here, and everybody who is born and raised here knows it.
Okay, Grace.
Thank you. Three personal qualities that will assure others I will work well with others. It's a difficult question to answer. But I think my experience certainly can be one of those qualities. You know, being involved in the criminal justice system, it's an adversarial system. You know, you're every day you're going into court arguing against attorneys on the other side. Everybody in the audience has friends that are attorneys, private attorneys, local attorneys. Ask them whether or not I can work well with others. And I think I have a pretty good reputation of being cordial, even though it's an adversary process. And the second quality, being honest, even though it's an adversarial process. And my opponent, he's made a big press. He had a press conference this weekend about starting a veterans court. I'm all for starting a veterans court here in Morgan County. It's a little disingenuous, though, because a state's attorney, by statute, doesn't have authority to start a veterans court. Only the chief judge of the circuit can start that. So if he wants to run for an office that can create a veterans court, he's running for the wrong office. The state's attorney doesn't. And I think it's disingenuous for him to tell people he will start it. He will start it within the 6 months. And I think I have a track record of being honest with my colleagues and the public. And the last one I think is patience. As a state's attorney as a prosecutor, you have to have the patience to review a case to know when an investigation needs some additional investigation before you can prove a case beyond a reasonable doubt. And that's the standard. And I don't fault Tyson for not knowing this, but probable cause is not the standard I have to deal with. Probable cause is a standard that law enforcement deals with. I have to deal with, as a prosecutor, the standard of being able to prove a case beyond a reasonable doubt. And when the evidence isn't there, I ask to do follow-up investigations until the evidence can be built. Very much appreciate everybody coming tonight. Thank you.
May I respond?
No.
Thank you. I feel like I'm in the middle of their debate. The question is, name three qualities or characteristics that the voters could rely on that I'll work well with others. The answer is simple. It's been mentioned by others. First, hard work. Show people that you work hard. They respect that. Second, honesty. When you tell somebody something, they can rely on it. Know that you'll be dealing with the truth. And the third is, as noted by Junius, a sense of humor. You have to have a sense of humor in life. Yes, we deal with serious problems as judges, but we're dealing with regular people who have to know that you have a sense of humor, that you can cut through the difficulties and get to what is fair. These are the qualities that I will have. Not the qualities that I try to impress on other lawyers, but these are the qualities that the voters can rely on, that I will make a judge that they will be proud of, an independent voice on the bench. Thank you.
This concludes the forum for this evening. I want to thank all of you for coming this evening and the candidates. There are many opportunities to vote. Make certain that you take one of those cards from the